Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Independence Day.
Yes.
It's a special day in the history of our country, without a doubt. Glad to see you all here this morning. The only announcement that I am aware of is bikes in the basement. Must be the Iowa youth group coming through. They're going to be in shape. Let us stand and sing the invocation song, "We Are Gathered Here." God with our prayer of confession. We have not lived as your chosen people.
We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I hate, sometimes I lie, sometimes I waste, sometimes I cheat. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son. Sometimes I am selfish. Sometimes I am prejudiced. Sometimes I am uncaring. Sometimes I am destructive. We have not lived as your chosen people. We have not loved your daughters and sons. We have not walked in the footsteps of others. We have not followed the servant, your son.
Thank you.
we are in bondage to sin, there is hope for freedom. Not by our own doing, but because we are chosen by God to receive the gift of forgiveness. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know that this is true.
Chapter of Ezekiel. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the Psalm 123 responsibly. To you I lift up my eyes, to you enthroned in the heavens.
And the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, and the eyes of the maid to the hand of their mistress. So our eyes look to you, O Lord our God, until you show us your mercy.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy, for we have had more than enough of contempt.
Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich, and the derisions of the proud.
The second reading is from the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is it, this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deeds of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few of sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2. And gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Is this okay? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The account of Jesus returning to his hometown to see family and friends encourages us to consider our own relationship with Jesus. As Christians, Jesus is family, and the church is his home. So in a sense, every Sunday when we gather for worship, we are returning to our hometown to be with family, Jesus, and our friends. So Jesus enters his hometown, Nazareth, having just outdone himself in the miracle department. He had healed the Gerasene man with the unclean spirit. He had raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, and then healed the woman with a hemorrhage. So the townspeople were excited. Small town boy makes good. He was welcomed like a celebrity at first, it seems. So proud were those who gathered to listen to him. He's so grown up, they probably said. They wondered, can this be Mary and Joseph's little boy? He must be successful. He has people following him around. One proud neighbor probably observed. Another may have commented, I hear he's even done a miracle or two. And then Jesus started preaching. People's reaction changed. They took offense at his words, and their lack of faith surfaced. Mark concludes, Jesus could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. What happened? Have you ever considered that Jesus was greatly appreciated, but not really wanted? Do we, you and me, do we greatly appreciate Jesus, but sometimes really not want him? As we read today's scripture readings, if you're like me, we fall into the habit of thinking that we are the ones that are being sent out. We are the ones like Ezekiel who are called to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. But what if that's not who we are? At least not all the time. What if we're not the ones sent out, but the ones sent to? What if the prophet is saying to us, thus saith the Lord? George Weber, in his book, The Congregation in Mission, reminds us that Christians are not lifeguards, safe and dry on the side of the water, throwing out flotation devices. Instead, he says, we also are swept along by the flooding currents of life and in need of rescue by Christ as much as anyone else in danger of drowning. Perhaps we're not the ones sent out, but we're the ones sent to. Do we hear God's word? Are we open to hearing the word of God? Consider some of the things that Jesus might have been teaching that day in Nazareth. Love your enemies. You must forgive 7 times 7. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. These are neither easy instructions to listen to nor easy actions to implement. I wonder what our response will be. Yes, Lord, send me. Or, Jesus, I greatly appreciate you, but I don't want you really in my life right now. Consider the Apostle Paul's journey of faith, as related in our 2 Corinthians passage. Paul tells us that he had a thorn in his side. Now, we do not know what that thorn was, but we know that Paul prayed 3 times to have it healed. 3 times. And despite his prayers, he was never healed. God said no. Paul did not give up on God. God's grace was sufficient for Paul, and you and I are Christians because Paul never gave up. How about you? When God says no, do you appreciate God, but not really want him in your life at that point? While working on my master's degree, I took a sociology of religion class. The professor said that religion can serve one of two options, not both, only one or the other. One option is that we can use our faith to justify who we are and what we want. We can use faith for our own selfish purposes. Or the other option is that our faith can shape us so we become faith-filled people that God intends us to be. In the first option, we use Christ. And in the second option, Christ uses us. It is so easy to live little, listless lives, and all the time Jesus is beckoning us. Come on, join hands with me, and I will show you depths of love you've never known before, he says. Come, follow me, and I will enable you to do greater things than you ever thought possible. Come, let me dwell in you, and you dwell in me, and together we will discover the joy-filled meaning and purpose you have been searching for. We can be like the people in Nazareth and close our ears to Jesus. Or we can open our ears and hear the good news. And yet, as Ezekiel reminds us, even those who do not hear shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Jesus might be rejected, but the mission goes on. Today's gospel reading is not just the story of Jesus' return to his hometown. The second account tells of Jesus sending out the 12, two by two. The disciples had great success. In fact, Mark writes, they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. Together, these two scenes from Mark have something to tell us, not only about God and God's power, but also about our part in God's power. Together, they tell us about the power of faith and something about the power of sin. Together, they tell us something about what happens when ego and pride get in the way, and what happens when hope, faith, and expectation clear the way and God takes central place. Jesus will not leave us to ourselves. God meets us where we are, but thank be to God, he doesn't leave us there. God never leaves us where he finds us. God nudges us and speaks to us. And before you know it, God has us doing things and saying things that we would never have seen ourselves doing before. God tends to take us places we never expected. Christ changes us. Have you the courage to grow in Christ? It's one of the reasons why Jesus is greatly appreciated by many people, just not always wanted. Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to not only greatly appreciate your Son and you, but help us to welcome you into our lives. Change us, mold us, use us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. stand as we affirm together what we believe. We believe we are chosen
by God, our Creator, to participate in an ongoing work of creation by holding life sacred and being good stewards of God's gracious gifts. We believe we are chosen by Jesus Christ, our Savior, to participate in the ongoing work
of spreading the good news of
God's saving love and serving others in the name of the Lord. We believe we are chosen by the Holy Spirit, who calls us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ,
gathers us as a community of believers
to worship together and support one another, and enlightens us with the gifts of love, forgiveness, and everlasting life. We believe that the Holy Spirit nourishes our growth, preserves us in faith, and keeps us in God's grace forever. Amen.
Thank you for sending in your offering to the church. And there's the offering played out in the foyer if you want to leave your gift today. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of all, through the waters of baptism, you claim people of all races, ethnicities, and languages as your beloved children. Sustain the baptized and increase their faith, that your gospel may be proclaimed throughout the earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of the heavens, your creating spirit animates the universe. We give you thanks for the moon and stars, for the planets and the Milky Way galaxy, and for all of the mysteries of the cosmos that remain unknown to us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of freedom, you have liberated us from sin and death and rescue us from all forms of spiritual, social, and political oppression. Defend us from tyrants in our midst and deliver us from all forms of slavery or corruption. Direct our freedom for works of liberation and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of compassion, you became vulnerable in the person of Jesus Christ in solidarity with the disempowered. Strengthen those who feel faint. Give courage to those who fear. And bring wholeness to those in need, especially Nancy Wagner, Michelle Lofgren, Pat Rowe, Pastor Ken Thoreau, and Marlis. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of holiness, you send us out into the world to proclaim your love. We pray for our outreach ministries. Equip us as we leave this place to witness and serve our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue working through our Joint Call Committee and through all who work for the future of our ministry in Buffalo. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through those who seek candidates for our ministry and in the hearts of candidates as well. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks that in every time and place you call forth prophets who move us toward freedom. Thank you for those who work for human rights, community organizers, and all who strive for liberty for all. Lord, in your mercy. We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace.
Amen.
Live as the chosen people of God.